It's always a pleasure to talk with one of our local principals. Today, Parkview Elementary Principal Mel Presley is with us. Welcome, Mel. Great to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. So glad. Glad to have you. Hadn't talked to you yet. I've talked to a lot of people. I've actually been doing this for a while now. Lots of teachers, lots of principals, some directors. Wrangled some directors in.
Good.
So had some good stories and some entertainment. So let's start with you.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me about yourself. You are from Cookeville, right?
Mostly.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start there. Explain that.
Okay. So I have lived in Cookeville since, I don't know, about third grade.
Okay.
That's why I say mostly.
Yeah.
Long enough, though, that everybody here knows who
I
am.
Yes.
Let's see. What else do you want to know about me? Went to Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
Wings up.
Yes.
Got lots of other degrees from other places too. But me and my husband decided to make this place our home because he is a born and raised Cookeville boy, and we have two boys ourselves. Both middle school age, 14 and 11, and they're a lot of fun and they keep me very busy.
Wow. Where are they? Where are
Avery
they?
Trace.
They're at Avery Trace.
Yep, I used to work.
Yes.
I love them. And so they keep me very busy. And in between my regular school and all their extracurricular activities, when we have spare time, we also have, a farm life. That's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, that's your relaxing time.
That's
sometimes
right.
People think our little mini farm working stuff is like work, but to me it's more the fun stuff. It's the relaxing stuff.
Yeah. My husband loves to get on the tractor and just bush hog.
Yes. I do too. Yeah. And you leave the phone behind.
Uh-huh. That's
And then
screen free time.
Correct. Correct. And for you, I imagine it's nice just to sit down. I wouldn't think that you do a whole lot of sitting.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't do a whole lot of sitting at home either. There's always a fence that needs to be mended or, an animal that needs to be fed. But it is nice to sometimes sit and watch the sunset off the back porch.
Yeah.
For sure.
And at school, no sitting?
No, there's never any sitting.
Never. Yeah. With that many moving parts. How many kids? About
425.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of little people.
It's great, though.
To take care of.
A lot of really sweet little people.
Yeah. And about how many on your staff?
Oh,
they're ballpark.
If I include, like, when we buy meals and I'm looking to feed staff, not just teachers, but assistants and anybody that's system-wide, we're looking around 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a big group. It's a big group.
But we're pre-K-5. Each grade level has, K-5 has four teachers, and then there's three pre-K teachers. So that's like ballpark plus your encore and, but, yeah, there's a lot of special people that help make Parkview a great place to learn and work, really.
For sure. And that's just a lot of people. So and I want to get into that for sure. I want to learn how it all works. I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But let's back up.
Okay.
So before you decide to be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
How did you decide to be a teacher? How did that's
so that's funny because before we got on air we were talking about when I first started at Tech, I was a journalism major. And I actually worked for this radio station, and because I had a high ACT score in English, so I started taking those classes because I thought that'd be a good route for me. And then one day I was like, you know what? I don't think this is what I want to do. And I decided to start kind of following more of like my passions. Well, my passions was art at that time.
Okay.
And so I literally took the TTU student catalog and started like flipping through it to figure out what I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
To figure out what I wanted to do. And I got to art, and I mean, you could major in any type of art. TTU
Correct.
Has a great art program, the Craft Center, it's fantastic, but I was like, how am I going to make money?
Uh-huh.
And so I decided to go into art education.
Yes.
And that's how I became a teacher.
Just like that.
One day in my apartment when I was in college.
With the catalog.
Yes.
And this is before all the fancy websites and career counselors.
Yes.
And it's I'm gonna get the catalog out.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So here I am. So, I got my degree in art ed at Tech. Got another degree later on from Ohio State. Started teaching here in Putnam County. And then the path just keeps continuing.
Okay. So you could have been, so let's say that you opened that catalog and somebody had torn out the page that said art ed, you could be a fibers instructor at the Craft Center.
I could be.
I mean, you're
I could be.
Your path could have rolled in a whole different direction.
I majored in painting, though, but should have been a woodworker.
Yeah.
Because, yes. Okay. So, like, you have to pick a concentration when you do art ed, or art in general, fine arts in general. And then later on, you get the chance to, like, in art ed, you have to take all the disciplines, but then you get a chance to, like, build on them. Well, I was looking for some extra credits, and so I started taking extra, more advanced woodworking.
Okay.
If I had taken that earlier, I would have been a...
You might still be there.
I'd probably be a woodworker.
As a professor of woodworking.
Maybe. Or maybe I'd be making fine furniture somewhere.
Yeah. Or you might be in Gatlinburg, chainsaw carving bears.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But that's not the way that the wind blew that day.
It's not the path. Okay.
So, yeah. So I was a painter. That was the concentration that I landed on. And
okay.
Yeah, here I am, a principal.
Yeah, well, that's fun. And yeah. Probably, so back up to elementary, middle school, I imagine you never thought you were going to be a principal.
No.
And I still have yet to, no one has sat in that chair and said, when I was in middle school, I intended to be a principal or a director of schools.
No, not at all. Actually, but before I became a teacher, I was like, I kind of would like to coach.
Mm-hmm.
And
see that?
And so I – and not instructional coach, like athletics coach.
Yeah.
So once I became a teacher, I was into coaching. And they – but this is – my first job was down at Cornerstone when it was a middle school. And they were like, well, we need a cheer coach.
Of course.
So I said yes. So I did that for a little bit.
Of course.
But – and then I got my way out of that. And I was the Odyssey of the Mind coach, which was kind of like a drama team thing. And then – got out of that, and then I was the volleyball coach. Like, I've done all the little things, but it's helped me be a better mom, because now I'm like the soccer team manager.
Of course.
I'm the swim team manager, you know.
You got the skill set for it.
I wanted to be a coach, yes. And so then I became a teacher, and then how'd the principal thing happen? Somebody saw leadership potential in me, and they just mentioned it. And I was like, are you sure? Me? You know?
Well, even if it's just a level of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Just to keep people motivated.
Right.
I would sign you up.
Thanks.
I mean,
that's the old cheer coach in me.
If nothing, if there was nothing else. But I know your skill set's deeper than that. But that by itself is enough to, I mean, because so much of a school is about, I mean, it's the culture.
Right.
I mean, so much of it is the culture. And you can tell, and I've been in a lot of schools, you can tell when you walk in that school.
That's true.
And talk to a few people.
You can feel it, actually.
Instantly.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. So well, maybe it's the cheer background, the cheer coach.
A little bit.
I don't know.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Yeah. Yes. So here I am.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's back up again then. So what about coming in, favorite teacher somewhere along the way? Who is a favorite teacher? It could be elementary, high school, college, anywhere along the way that had an influence on you, and why?
I had a painting professor, and I can't remember his last name, but he really challenged me to slow down. And that's because I am a doer. I'm a doer. Let's get it done. I was the kid in school that wanted to be the first one done on their tests and turn it in. You know what I mean? And he really challenged me to slow down and focus on detail. This was a painting class. I remember I had to do a self-portrait, and like, I thought I was done. No. You know, it was like, you have to go back and find something else. And causing me to do something that was probably outside my comfort zone, that's probably why I respect him so much. It was a different way of thinking, and it was hard for me at that time period. Now it's not as hard. I want to say his name was Tony. I can't remember his last name. He was only there for a short period of time. But he challenged me in ways that pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And I think that's been good for me, because I think my whole career path has been pushing myself outside of my comfort zone.
Sure.
And then I have to, in turn, challenge teachers sometimes to do that.
You do. Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. So that I'm sure that carries over to the teachers and the students.
Yes.
Challenging, you know, getting them... I mean, let's face it, the growth piece is
right.
Our model.
Right. No,
really.
You're right. Yeah.
Really.
And it's hard for people to get outside of their comfort zone. Students, adults, you know, myself included. And so when you have conquered something, that you didn't think you could achieve. It is an amazing feeling. So to be able to share those experiences with people and help them through that process with whatever mountain they're trying to climb, you know, it's kind of really rewarding.
Yeah. And so. it can be hard. And I think sometimes with kids who do struggle, I mean, they need to struggle sometimes to get to places, and it can be difficult. And sometimes people don't understand that kid is going to struggle with this concept, and they're going to be better off on the back end when they get it.
If it's too easy,
it doesn't, I don't think it's as impactful.
Okay. So I just thought of this, you saying that when I was in my art career, during the time when I had that professor, I did a whole series about process. It wasn't about the end product. It was about the process it took to get there. And, you know, thinking about what we were just talking about and relating it, it's sometimes a productive struggle to get a completed product. That's interesting how education and art kind of intertwine and align.
Yeah, it makes – well, it's the journey. I mean, a lot of times, you know, but it can be hard. You know, sometimes it's just framed like it's this you know, simple little walk.
Magical.
Yeah. But it's not. It's like time and effort and brain power and to get
tears,
there.
Tears sometimes.
Yeah. And that's all part of the process.
Yeah.
Even though as a parent, you're like, not my little precious. you don't need to make him cry or her cry. But I mean, you know, sometimes there's tears in the process of that subject.
Oh, that was me getting my little one to read. Ooh, buddy.
So we get through. So, all right. Well, let's take a short break and we'll come back, talk a little more with Mel Presley.
Sounds good.
Okay. Welcome back. Talking to, got it right this time, Dr. Mel Presley. So let's talk about that just a little bit, because we do take, I never set out. You know that I grew up in a small rural school, and if somebody had said, you're going to get a doctorate someday, I would have laughed.
Yeah.
It was never in my realm. Was it ever something that you thought you would go that far, or are you just, like most educators, you just love to learn?
Well, I do love to learn. When I went my first degree of art education, and then I went and got my master's in art education, I was like, you know what? If I ever want to teach art at the college level, I have to get my doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what I got my doctorate in. But that was my vision at that point after I got my master's. Prior to that, no. I never set my vision that high. I actually have kind of crisscrossed my paths and probably collected more degrees than I needed to. I could paper the walls, you know, but what it shows, my husband always makes fun of me because he'll be like, you don't know XYZ. And I'm like, well, I didn't study that.
Yeah.
That's not what my doctorate's in.
It's pretty specific.
But because of my quest or my thirst for learning, that's how I will kind of, hey, I really want to study that more in depth. And so I got a degree in technology at one point. I got, you know, multiple degrees in art, multiple degrees in leadership, and here I am.
Yeah.
Still wanting to learn more, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, and I've had that same discussion because I can take classes for free.
Oh,
you know?
I would love that.
And one day I came home and I was like, I'm going to get an MBA. And the look from my lovely wife was one of pure entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to commit to that, take that on? And, you know, I was just like, why not?
You know what I would do? I'd be in Pennebaker. I've always said when I retire from education, which is where the painting studio used to be.
Okay.
When I retire from education, I want to be a park ranger. So I would go back and wildlife
out.
Fisheries
sure.
or something along
sure.
those lines. Yeah. Hold some snakes.
Hang out with the snakes. And
yeah.
All the critters. There are a lot of critters over there.
I know. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, that would be fun. Well, so have you taken any of the – all the degrees, all the education, have you taken any of that and kind of sold your students on the value of
higher ed
and additional courses and degrees? And
I would say when I was at the middle school, I had that conversation more than – because especially when kids get to 7th and 8th grade, you start talking about – hey, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is your goal in life? The elementary kids, it's not as attainable yet. You can start talking mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. But in, by 7th and 8th grade, they are really starting to think about it. My 8th sure. grader personally, he was talking the other day to me about, I don't know what I want to do yet. And I'm going to high school next year. And I was like, well, yeah. you don't have to fully know. You have what
to completely
you want.
Figure it out.
But you need to know, like, am I going to go down the college path, or am I going to go to a vocational mm-hmm. school, or, mm-hmm. you know, what is it that I want to do? So mm-hmm. We do some of that in the elementary that's age appropriate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but more so my personal experiences I shared with my middle school kiddos when I was at Avery Trace.
Yeah. And did you all have the programs yet for career, all the career stuff? Was that at Avery Trace when uh-huh. you were still there?
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not things that I had in middle school.
I know.
I just didn't have access to that.
I know. It's great for them just to see the scope of availability of mm-hmm. jobs that you could possibly be when you grow up. And, you know, truthfully, I wonder what's still going to be there when those kids actually get
sure.
to the job market.
Sure. How much different it'll look.
Right.
Yeah. And I've been surprised yeah. at the elementary level. I've been into some elementary schools, and they've got a wall where
yeah,
they've talked about what they want to be when they uh-huh. grow up. And you know, there's always the typical, you know, teacher, firefighter,
yeah.
police officer,
yeah.
dragon slayer, uh-huh. whatever.
Yeah.
But
YouTube
then
star.
That's been the thing that mm-hmm. it, to me was more than anything else. Social
yeah.
media influencer.
Oh.
And I'm like, how many of mm-hmm. those, you know, I mean, that to me, that kind of ranks up there with professional baseball player, you
right.
know?
Right. Like, I mean, what are your odds?
Right.
Truthfully.
Right.
Yeah. I remember having some conversations with middle school kids mm-hmm. about that. Like, okay, let's really talk about how they're making money.
Yeah. 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 It's like yeah. you're 5'2", probably not going to make it in the NBA.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's
good to have goals.
Right.
But let's, you know,
right.
let's find
there
something.
There are other anomalies, but
yes.
come on. Yeah.
yeah. Let's find something more yeah. reasonable.
Yeah. And so, like, you bringing that up, that really, I'm probably jumping ahead, but that ties right into what we're talking about with restoring childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the countywide initiative, I was an early supporter of it because of my like long experience in the middle school. And as I've been reading the book with my coalition, I've discovered that I was like growing when my tenure at Avery Trace, the 13 years that I was there as assistant principal, was the highlights of when all this was going on. And
sure,
I'm like, no wonder.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's our coalition just met yesterday after studying the, you know, whatever our assigned chapters were. And we're talking about social media and are we preparing our youth for adulthood?
Mm-hmm.
Are we preparing them to be independent? And
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, that's. We didn't even get into, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, but that's...
Just preparing them for real life.
Uh-huh.
To be productive citizens.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah. Being able to look at somebody like this, eyeball to eyeball, and have a conversation. That was one of the key things that we were talking about
sure.
yesterday.
Sure.
Is how there's a population of students that are adults right now, considered adults, that aren't comfortable in social situations.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but I mean, between cell phones and COVID,
uh-huh.
I mean, you just those two things alone. I mean, it's messed up a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality
yeah.
of it.
You're probably living it more than me right now because of college.
Getting to see it. I mean, you know,
yeah.
getting to see the because that's, you know, the students are still making their way out of that
uh-huh.
area, you know, and still struggling. And obviously, we're making teachers out of people who
right.
had those struggles.
Right.
And that in of itself. Is a struggle,
right?
You know, to overcome those things that you know, not necessarily any fault of their own,
no.
but just their environment, and then COVID, and the bizarre social things that came with that, just it's made it difficult.
Yeah,
it's been some hard conversations.
Yeah,
like
yes,
like you're gonna have to sit here and tell me we're gonna have to talk. Gonna talk about this
exactly.
like face to face.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
oh, okay, you know, not in an email? No.
No. Yeah. Like, let's really talk about it. Yeah. So it's
yeah.
that is a cool thing that is happening, not just at Parkview, but, you know, in Putnam County, is we're trying to remedy that as a society, I guess you
mm-hmm.
could say. And we're starting young at elementary school. I've got parents on my coalition. You know,
okay.
it's really like a book club. It's kind of
right.
how I
right.
view it. Coalition's a fancy word, but it's great conversations about things that we can do to make a change. So hopefully this next group of kids coming through they're going to see that it's one in a million to be a YouTube influencer or a social media influencer or whatever, you know.
Sure. Yeah, it's one of those things that I saw it all over the wall. I mean, it was half of the careers that I saw plastered on the wall, and I just kind of stood there for a second, and I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm old. Maybe I'm just kind of old and grumpy now.
What did you want to be when you were in kindergarten?
A park ranger.
Oh!
I mean, that was me. I wanted
to be a veterinarian.
Yeah, that was always my plan. And then it, you know, I wandered away from that. But it's not too late.
No, too late.
I've threatened to
a few
times.
Classes.
I'm going to turn my keys over.
Hey, maybe we'll get hired at the same park.
I know. And just live the good life.
Yeah.
The quiet life. So, all right. Well, let's take a short break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and I want to talk a little bit more about Parkview.
Okay.
Welcome back. Talking to Dr. Mel Presley from Principal of Parkview. So a big change for you moving from
the middle school,
to elementary.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that was a change, but experienced educator, so that, you know, it's fine. And a mom, so, you know,
right.
I mean, that part's, and managing a school, I imagine a lot of those things are very similar.
They are very similar. I will say my very first pre-K lunch duty, my assistant principal, who is a seasoned elementary at the time. She's not currently the principal at Cane Creek.
Mm-hmm.
She was my assistant principal, and she just laughed her head off at me at the very first pre-K lunch duty I had to do because I didn't know. I felt like an alien.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we doing here? I'm used to like, sit down, stop that. Keep your hands to yourself, you know, and it was a different experience for pre-K.
Yeah, some big eyes, some wide-eyed moments, I imagine.
Yes.
Well, they're just different people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the little ones are different from the middle schoolers and different from the high school kids.
Yes, but I'm in year three now, so I have since adapted, and I feel like sometimes I have to check myself because I'm like, was that too mean? You know, elementary is warm and fuzzy, you know. I mean, I was warm and fuzzy at the middle school, but there are times when you've got to get very stern.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are times you got to get pretty stern with some elementary kids too. But, yeah, so
correct.
That was different. The transition as far as how to run one school versus another, it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually smaller than a middle school, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit more manageable. Truthfully,
mm-hmm.
You know, we had double the population at the middle school, so that's different. What was interesting was moving a school.
Mm-hmm.
And not a single class in all the degrees that I've had have I ever had a class in
talk
how
about that.
To move a school.
Mm-mm.
No,
nope.
That is a beast unto
yes.
itself.
Yes.
So after 1 year of being a principal, I got to move a school, and it was interesting. We talked about the process and
mm-hmm.
going outside of your comfort zone. Boy, I learned all mm-hmm. sorts of things about construction.
Yes.
That I never knew that I needed to know.
Yep.
I'm still learning, truthfully. So that was fun.
Uh-huh.
But now we're here in our second year in this new building. And so we're kind of, you know, starting to make it home. And it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that while Stephanie was teaching at Prescott.
Uh-huh.
She taught the first year at the old building.
I got to move over.
And so, you know,
uh-huh.
husbands are part of the team.
Uh-huh.
And so we did a lot of that. It was interesting. I mean,
yes.
it's just interesting. There are so many pieces that, you know, and like with Prescott, there was the debate over whether to have the geothermal heating and cooling. And
oh,
so
boy.
We became educated on those things,
right.
you know, like the school board's going to vote.
We
you know,
need to have a stance.
Are they going to put the $1 million, you know, the extra money into this? And so it's a thing that you learn and then you may never use it again, or they may put you on the committee for the next school building.
Okay, good to know.
Uh-huh. So,
good to know.
So if you hear that, just don't make eye contact with Corby.
Okay.
When he comes.
Yeah.
Because
I found myself in all kinds of weird meetings talking about roofs with all these very, you know, knowledgeable men. And
uh-huh.
I'm the least knowledgeable of them.
Sure.
But, you know, it's
sure.
Fine.
Yeah. Well, in that transition and then building, so, you know, changing changing the mascot.
Now, see,
I'm sure
I didn't
that
get
was
to be a
deal.
Part of that.
Okay.
I wasn't
okay.
the principal. So they had a whole committee before they even, like, before Mr. Winningham retired, they had a whole committee that decided what the school was going to be named, what the colors were going to be, what the mascot was going to be, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I just kind of adopted that.
Okay.
So that was okay.
Okay.
That wasn't so bad.
You weren't in the middle of that.
No, yes. No. I just got to, at least I knew the process.
Yes. Yeah. And then you just owned it. And you
that's
got to
right.
Own
I just owned
you,
it. Yeah. That's right. And we're loving it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fun. That's a fun mascot.
It is. And especially if the middle school wing ever gets built, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense. You know, mm-hmm. Rockets are
mm-hmm.
you know, powerful team to be behind.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Now, were you in the middle of any of those conversations? To me, that was such a tricky political, you know, decision because right. obviously a lot of people
love
wanted to build it,
yeah.
wanted,
oh,
wanted to build the middle school at the time.
Yes.
And, I mean, I understand the realities of both sides,
yeah.
you know, with the money, but.
Nope, I was left out of all of that, too, because
okay.
I wasn't named. I don't even know if that was before Mr. Winningham decided he was going to retire. I know what happened. So mm-hmm. I adopted all of that as
yeah,
well.
Just got to walk into that.
And, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And establish. Now, I did see on your Facebook page,
uh-huh.
there's a lot of PTO.
Uh-huh.
There's some PTO involvement. You have
yeah.
a lot of good sponsors
yeah.
for the school.
We have the best adopters at Parkview.
How does that make your life easier
or
better?
Amazing. So one of the coolest things that just started yesterday, actually. So we had a big adopters breakfast on one of our startup days because I was
okay.
like, they do a lot for us. They, you know, the first 2 years I've been principal, they would give whatever you need. You give us money, give us the resources, you know, whatever we need to help our teachers, help our students. They're amazing. And so I was like, I want to give back to them. So we had a breakfast and they came and our teachers cooked the food and we all mingled and hung out. And they were like, well, let me know what you need this year. And I was like, you know what I need? I need an art class.
Nice.
And they were like, really? And they were like, yeah. So one of my adopters has helped make that happen.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
so cool.
Huge.
So they're buying the supplies. They have former teachers on their staff, basically, that we've cleared for background checks. They're helping to staff the classes. Now, it's
wow.
not every day.
Sure.
It's
sure.
like once a week, but it's better than what
no,
we had.
Nothing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just, they are. To me, the Parkview adopters are so active in the school all the time. It's amazing. So I just
yeah.
love it. Not just
yeah.
not just that particular adopter, but all of them.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
at the old school, we had an adopter that helped pour concrete in an area that I needed. You know, like it's just things. If I see a need and we call, they're like, done.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's a big deal because very limited resources,
right?
Realistically,
right?
You know, for outside the box
extras.
Ideas,
yes.
You know, and so you think about the day to day things that an adopter can help you with, but then the outside the box things like an art teacher. I mean, you know,
right.
art supplies.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then just say,
and beyond
sure.
that, like when we were building the school, I wanted a place for kids to play basketball. It wasn't in the design, and
okay.
if they weren't an adopter, Rogers Group. Just said, hey, you know what? We'll pour that for you.
Hmm.
You know, just the community, the Parkview community, beyond adopters, it's anybody that it has a wide berth. There's a lot of people in Cookeville that went to Parkview
mm-hmm.
and want to give back to Parkview.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really neat how the community, it's very wide, and they're willing to give if we just say, hey, this is the dream I have. They help me make it happen. So,
yeah. And,
yeah,
and you just have to ask.
I just have to ask.
Yeah.
And so I ask a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't ask, the answer is
no.
Obviously
that's right.
No.
Yeah, so I have high, I aim high,
yeah.
you know, and I want what's best for the students because I want them to have an amazing
sure.
elementary experience. That
sure.
is my goal. Like, when I think back to elementary school, this was probably my favorite
mm.
time, even though I couldn't think of a teacher off the top of my head from elementary.
Well, you will. It will hit you.
It'll hit me when I'm driving home.
On the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I think back, that's like the warm and fuzzy memories of school
mm-hmm.
when you think of school. And so that's what I want to create for my Rockets.
Sure.
And so that's what I try to do with all the extras, you know. So.
Yeah. All the extra. The costumes and,
uh-huh.
and the
yeah.
all the fun stuff and the videos.
I know. I don't. Yeah. Now, okay. I had somebody asked me, like, how do you come up with all these ideas? And I was like, okay, I have a whole team of people that are constantly thinking of ideas. I'm not the genius. Uh-huh. I'm just a lot of times the person that has to stand in the suit.
who will wear the cheese suit on picture day.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. That's that
enthusiasm that I think just, you know, carries over into the school.
Yeah. So makes it fun. If there's a Halloween costume person listening, I could use a sponsorship.
There you go. Halloween Central.
That's right.
We'll call somebody. Well, and that's, again, you have to ask.
That's right.
I mean, until you ask.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, the little things like that are just things that I can do to make school fun, not just mm-hmm. for my students, my teachers too. Mm-hmm. I try to make school fun for them. And so we like to do little silly things all the time just to make the day go by better. Because, you know, there's a lot of demands. I have high expectations, not just for my students, but for my teachers.
Sure.
And there's a lot of demands that they have to meet every day. And, you know, if I can make it fun, I'm going to. You know, so like Friday, we're having milkshake day. Friday's National Milkshake Day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're going to have a milkshake shop.
Maybe I'll stop by.
Yeah, come on over.
Stop by. Have a milkshake. Well, okay, so you mentioned, and we can't go without talking about this. You mentioned the demands.
Yes.
For teaching.
Yes.
There's a shortage.
Yes. That's no joke.
What do we do? What do we do about that?
That is no joke. So, okay, I don't know if you know this. You might know this, College of Ed guy, but Tennessee Tech is partnering with Putnam County to really help build an amazing pool of applicants. And this is so we have, for those in the general public, when people are pre-service teachers, they have several experiences that they have to go through before they get to what you call residency or student teaching. So one of those experiences that we're doing right now is a very guided and modeled, it's called practicum experience. And it has been a tremendous success. It's kind of in the research stages still, mm-hmm. but our teachers are just raving about how the quality of the students that they are getting in their classrooms to work with. And I can't wait to see. I mean, so the first group was probably juniors, so it's probably another year mm-hmm. or so. I can't mm-hmm. wait till they start applying, because these teachers that are going to be coming out of Tech are going to be so prepared for the classroom. And so to me, I think part of the reason why there's a shortage is because the demands are so high, and maybe they haven't felt like they were prepared to meet those demands. The first couple mm-hmm. of years of teaching are hard.
They're tough.
I remember crying when I first started teaching. I would say that being better prepared for that first year is going to make them stay in the profession mm-hmm. and will make them even more amazing teachers, you know, at year 2, 3, 4, 5. So,
yeah. Anyway. And we need them. We need them in, and we need them to stay.
Yes, that's right.
Once they come. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we've reached the end of our time.
Sorry.
I appreciate you coming out to chat. Nah, we had good conversation. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.